Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's our buddy Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, Albert. Good to have you with us. So we're talking a lot of NBA today, but you know, big news of the NFL this week, Albert, and good for Carl Nassib, you know, yeah. As he announced on Instagram, I believe it was, that he's gay. And, you know, we've never had a professional athlete while they were playing in the three big sports we cover, baseball, football, basketball, come out. And, you know, I wouldn't have guessed football would be the first sport, but yeah. Great for Carl Nassib. And I love the fact that the reaction from people publicly, at least, has been positive, and it took a lot of courage, and I know times have changed, but I'm glad that this has gone well for him, and I hope nobody, you know, I'm sure there'll be some jerks, but I think this is good, and it's good for the NFL to be able to handle this properly.
It's great for the NFL, you know, and I think, I think what you'd find, and you know, Dustin, you can speak to this, is that those locker rooms are really just a cross section of society, and so there's probably more, there's a lot more, of everything in every locker room than people realize. And, I also think because locker rooms are generally, you know, relatively young and guys in their 20s, they've got different attitudes about these things than people in their 50s and 60s do. And so, you know, I think the guys in the Raiders locker room are going to be really accepting of it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's a different generation, you know? And so it's awesome that Carl had the courage to be the first one to step out and say something. And, I think it only opens the door for more guys to step out after this. And I don't know if you guys remember the story from a few years ago about Brian O'Callaghan. I actually covered him when he was young. This is probably like, 15 years ago. And, you know, I can tell you, even as a beat writer, nobody had any idea. And he had to hide that like you wouldn't believe. And you hear the stories now of the damage that it did to him personally and the stuff that he had to go through to keep that a secret. My God,
Yeah,
and
terrible.
So, if this opens the door for more guys being able to be who they really are, then that's a great thing, And, all the power in the world to Carl Nassib for opening that door for others.
No doubt. In fact, I think I saw today his jersey sales the last 2 days topped all the NFL, which is crazy to think about. I'm with you. I'm with you, Albert. I think it does open the door. I mean, now guys will feel more comfortable, which is a good thing. And we'll see what happens. I mean, this is groundbreaking.
I think like we're probably going to look back on this in 15 years, and it's all going to look really stupid the way people acted 15 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just
right.
The discussion. And I can remember because I had that discussion. And look, like, it came up. You know, Michael Sam, 5-6 years ago now, the shower discussion. And I think that there's going to be a lot of those sorts of discussions that, we get 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line. Those discussions will probably wind up looking pretty silly.
No doubt. Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, just saw today that the league is now going to take bids for the combine. You know, obviously the league does anything they can to monetize. They're going to take bids for part of the NFL network.
Yep.
Obviously they take every opportunity, but why all of a sudden now with the combine and selling part of the NFL network, you think?
Well, do you know what sort of year they had? I mean, they made a lot of money, but not as much money as they're used to making. So what do people who, I mean, like, if you get down to the heart of what NFL owners are, you know, those guys, like that's what they are. They know how to make money. That's, you know, you don't get into a position like that without having, you know, stepped over some people. You don't get into a position like that without having learned how to squeeze every dollar out of everything. And, you know, I think, you know, like in a lot of other, you know, things in America, there were a lot of plans for the NFL that were, you know, sitting there on paper and what they're going to do over the next 5 or 10 years. And I think losing, and it's not even losing money, but it's not, but it's the profit not being what it was.
Right.
The profit not being what it was before, I think sort of pushed some of these things into acceleration, you know. So it's the same as, like, I would say, you know, the comparison would be like, you know, the supermarket and how, you know, people aren't going to, you know, people, you know, that was probably like 10 or 15 years away, where people were going to be ordering everything through Instacart or, you know, instead of going to Best Buy, going to Amazon. And all that stuff got accelerated by the pandemic. And I think for some of the same reasons, some of the things that were on paper with the NFL as ways of making money and generating revenue have come off of paper a little faster than they thought they would. I think gambling is going to be in that category too, for whatever it's worth. But they're definitely trying to do what they can to get the revenue back up where it was pre-COVID. And, you know, one way they can do it is to have cities bid on the combine. I think it's going to be trickier than people think to move the combine, because I think all people think of is the 40, and it's a lot more than that. It takes a lot of infrastructure to get it done, but, you know, I'm not surprised that they're making a move like this now.
Albert, do you think we're going to see, you know, they've already expanded the playoffs, they've expanded the season, even though 32 is a perfect number of teams schedule-wise, right?
Yep.
Expansion fees are a boatload of money for the other teams. Is that inevitable as well?
I don't think so, because I think that means you got to cut the pie more ways, you know. So that's the one where I would say probably not. But I mean, you know, one thing that you do see, and one thing that I think is pretty consistent with, you know, when you look at Rodgers' time as the commissioner, and that's up to 15 years now, is that they have always been kind of looking at ways to add inventory. And I think the whole concept is, because they couldn't grow up anymore domestically, the game had become so popular, now you got to grow out. And so how do you grow out? You go international. You go to London. How do you grow out? You go back to L.A. with two teams instead of one. How do you grow out? You know, you go to back to Mexico City, where you hadn't been in a while. And so it's just sort of adding inventory, adding new ways to make money. And I think that's been, you know, incredibly consistent across the board. The reason I just think expansion is a little bit of a tougher sell, again, is, yeah, you get the expansion fee, but then, you know, you're talking about, you're probably adding not one but two teams, and that means you're cutting the pie 34 ways instead of 32. And I'll put it this way. I think it would have to be an awfully profitable market that they'd be going into, or two awfully profitable markets they're going into, for them to consider that, because somehow you'd have to be adding value where ultimately what you're doing is, you know, taking the 1/32nd share and making it more valuable as a 1/34th share.
Albert, what do you make of this Cole Beasley situation in Buffalo with the vaccination stuff? And he says he may retire. I don't know if they're going to keep him there in Buffalo or not, but what do you make of this whole situation?
Yeah, I think it's sort of, again, like one of these things where it's a cross section of America. And if you look at, you know, the way that I think that the NFL and NFLPA have handled COVID, and now, you know, handling the vaccine and where this is all going from here. I think there are really four groups. There's the early adopters, and that's the guys that didn't, you know, that's the guys that don't need to be told, that we're going to seek out the vaccine one way or the other. So that's the first group. The second group, I think, is younger players who are going to do whatever they're told. And so when somebody told them, hey, go do this, this will help you, then they were going to go do it. The third group is, I think, a group that's reluctant, but is going to wind up doing it because of how much harder it's going to make their career. And then the fourth group is the Cole Beasleys, and the people that are really against it and don't want to take it. And you know, again, like Dustin, I think it's just sort of boils down to what we're seeing in America with the vaccine, which I can't for the life of me believe that this whole thing's been politicized the way it has, but it has, and there's no question about that. But that's the four groups that the NFL is dealing with right now. And so I think you are going to have, you know, those Cole Beasleys, that fourth group that's probably going to be sitting there. And, you know, I think we're probably going to get to the start of the season and you're going to see about 75% vaccinated, and it's going to be representing the first three groups, and then maybe around 20 to 25% unvaccinated going through all the protocols like they were last year just to play, and that's going to be that fourth group.
And what is Cole Beasley whining about? I mean, if you don't want to get the if you know, if you're not going to get the vaccine, all right, whatever. Just because I think you're a dope, fine. You do whatever you want. But, like, don't whine about it. You got to wear a mask. Is there really that freaking big a deal to wear a mask?
The hard thing is how it's presented. And that's the thing. It's like, I think, you know, like, this was presented to certain players as, well, this is a new set of protocols.
Right, it's not.
And that's really not what it is. Yeah. Like, the way this thing was negotiated, the NFL and NFLPA didn't negotiate anything, like, as far as changing the protocols for the unvaccinated people. The unvaccinated players, it's the same protocols as it was last year. And the point that the PA and the league are making to the players is, we're not out of COVID yet. So if you're unvaccinated, we're going forward with the same protocols we went forward with last year. Sorry, that's just the way it is. And then, you know, what they did negotiate was, well, let's create some incentives for people who are vaccinated so we can have the safest workplace. So, you know, really, like, I think when you're digesting it as something new entirely, you might view it one way and say, well, this group's being discriminated against. That's not what it is. It's, you know, we're still in the pandemic. You know, the light's getting bigger at the end of the tunnel, no question about it. But, you know, in the end, like, what they tried to negotiate was incentives for guys to get vaccinated. And unfortunately for the guys who are unvaccinated now, it's going to create a competitive issue across the board for teams, for individuals. It's going to affect the way teams meet. It's going to affect the way teams lift. It is 100% going to be a competitive issue in the NFL in 2021, so long as a certain number of players, you know, remain unvaccinated. And that's sort of where we are right now, I think. And I think, you know, to a certain degree, the NFL and NFLPA could have done a better job of messaging that about a month ago or a month and a half ago. And they could have said to the players, listen, you know, the protocols are going to remain in place for guys who aren't vaccinated. We're just now negotiating incentives for guys who are vaccinated.
It seems pretty simple to me. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't get what Cole Beasley's problem is, but anyway, Albert, last thing, there was a report today
maybe too much cable news.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? He's getting his news from Facebook, apparently. Albert, there was a report today from Baker's agent that he thought that Baker, you know, doesn't have to wait for Lamar Jackson, doesn't have to wait for Josh Allen, that it could happen this summer. How would you rank Baker, Lamar, and Josh Allen in terms of most likely to sign an extension this summer?
I think all three of them will. You know, I think there's pressure, a little pressure on the Browns. And the reason why is I think if Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson sign after Baker Mayfield, well, they can just point at the Baker deal and said, Lamar can say I was the MVP. Josh Allen could say I was like an MVP candidate last year. Baker isn't a comp for me, right? Whereas if it's the other way around and Josh Allen somehow moves the market to 42 or 43 million, or Lamar Jackson moves the market to 42 or 43 million, now the Browns might have a problem. Because at that point, I think, you know, Baker's agent can look at the Browns and say, well, now we've got four or five quarterbacks who are up over 40 million a year. If you put together and let's say Allen and Jackson get there, you add those two to Dak, to Watson, and to Mahomes, and you say, that's just the market for quarterbacks now. So, you know, I think because there's still only two above that 40 million per year threshold or 39 per year threshold, it behooves the Browns to be a little more aggressive here and maybe try to get in front of it rather than waiting. And if they wait, again, I think they sort of create that issue for themselves where all of a sudden now the going rate for a starting quarterback is 40 million. If you've got five people, you know, in that neighborhood, it's a lot harder to tell your quarterback, than it is when it's only, you know, three guys like Dak Prescott, Pat Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson.
Albert, great stuff as always. Enjoy your vacation. Thanks for taking the time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer, MMQB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.